Imagine that. The microphone is in its stand. You know, I danced across the stage there, so my wife would give me the look, like, what are you doing? And she wasn't even looking. She didn't even look. Oh, boy. I've only begun to dance. Yes. Well, here we go. Holy Spirit, part three. That's what we're going to talk about today. I want to read our scripture for the year. It is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him, these are the things God has revealed to us, what? By his Spirit. Everybody say that with me. By his Spirit. Yes. So normally today, it's the fall kickoff. I shouldn't say normally. What we used to do was something, we used to call it get in the game. And so we would have areas out here where you could sign up for different things. We haven't done that the last few years. But in that same spirit, when I talk about the Holy Spirit today, just signing up for something is good. But the thing is about making a real difference in our church, it has to be through the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit working through us. And I want to read a scripture that's not going to be on the screen. It says John 7:38. It says, whoever believes in me, is Jesus, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. So what does water do? It refreshes and it cleanses. Refreshes and it cleanses. So these rivers of living water, this is what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about spiritual gifts. And this is something that the Holy Spirit does through us. It's those rivers of living water. And they refresh and they cleanse. All right. So what are spiritual gifts? Da-da-da-da. Spiritual gifts are special abilities, talents, or capacities given to individual Christians by the Holy Spirit for the purpose of serving God and others within the Christian community. That's a very good description. Now, these gifts are not really our natural talents, although I have found that God does use these spiritual gifts with our natural talents. But they are supernatural endowments provided by God's grace, and they're meant to be used to build up the body of Christ, okay? The community of believers, so that's you, that's me. So I'm going to go over some of the spiritual gifts. There are a lot of these that are mentioned in the Bible, so we're not going to go through all of them today. I just don't have time to do that. But I want to say this, and I've always thought this, and I believe it even more today. There are lots of spiritual gifts listed in the Bible, but that doesn't even touch what God does through us, okay? And I'm going to say this again later. The Apostle Paul, in order for us to kind of really understand it a little better, has given names to all these things. But if you think about it, it's the work of the Holy Spirit through us to bless others. That's what's going on. All right, so we're going to start with one here, and each has a purpose. Every gift has purpose, okay? The first one is prophecy that we're going to go through today, and we're going to pull quite a bit from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Not all of the gifts are listed there by any means, but quite a few. And so 1 Corinthians 12:10, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy. So prophecy is to communicate God's message, edify believers, and bring conviction or encouragement. And I want to read one more scripture, 1 Corinthians 14:3. The one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Okay? So when speaking a prophecy, you are literally speaking what you believe are the words of God. And it's to build up the church or an individual. Now, it's to bring conviction or encouragement. Now, Paul here says it's for strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. Oftentimes, prophecy can be in the moment. You didn't plan on doing it. God, if he's going to use you in this gift at this time, and the Holy Spirit is working through you, then at times, God will give you a word. And I'm going to say this a few times today. God can use us in any gift, any spiritual gift at any time. You may say, well, I don't have the gift of prophecy. Well, but there may be some time when God says, I really want you to speak this into this person's life. Maybe it's a one-off, you know. But it can happen to any one of us if we're open. And it's to strengthen, encourage, and comfort. It's being obedient to Christ, to say what you believe he's wanting to say. So needless to say, when speaking in such a way that you're, you know, it's a big responsibility. You're saying that this is God, so it's going to take humility, it's going to take wisdom, and it's going to take faith. I think a true prophecy is given out of the utmost humility and care. I do want to say it's a dangerous thing to speak things as if they are from God when it's, this is what we have to be careful of, that it's not our own agenda, that maybe you really think something, you really believe something. And I've seen this happen. I've seen it happen when somebody has spoken to me where they're really into something and they're mistaking that zeal as if it's from God. Okay, we just have to be careful that it's not just our own agenda, what we think ought to happen. Does that make any sense to you? I hope it does. Okay. But a prophecy given from an attitude of prayer, humility, and conviction can be a powerful thing. And it can be simply a truth that God wants preached through his word, or it can be something that he speaks into the life of someone. It can also be something that God is going to do. Many of you probably think of prophecy as foretelling the future. It's not always that. It can be. Sometimes in the Bible, that's the way that it is. But it has different purposes, but it's God speaking through the individual, okay? The words of God. And it takes humility, and it takes faith. Okay, let's look at another one. And as I go through these, as I went through each one, I thought, oh, there's going to be questions on each one of these. I know. Don't have time to go through it all today. I'll do my very best with the time we have. The next one is miracles. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, to another, the working of miracles. There it is. Miracles to demonstrate, now listen to this carefully, to demonstrate God's power and authenticate his message, often resulting in signs and wonders. And I'm going to give an example of this in Acts chapter 14, verse 3. So Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there, this was Iconium, speaking boldly for the Lord, okay, who confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to perform signs and wonders. God can do miracles of various sorts today. I believe that. This church teaches that, and I hope you believe that. God does do miracles today in all different ways. I will say that oftentimes that he will do this in areas that haven't heard the gospel. Again, I'm saying he can do it anywhere, anytime. He can do it right here. He can do it right now, today. And in your life, okay? But oftentimes, it's where they have not heard the gospel throughout the world. And I know people that this has happened to. I have read lots of books. Places where they don't know Jesus, they'll preach the gospel, and then there will be some kind of miracle that takes place to confirm that message to these people who don't know about Christ. So there will be a miracle to confirm that message. And we have a fairly recent instance of this. I was talking to Susan Grison. She went on a missions trip with some of our people, and they went to work with Kieran and Jamie Sterling, and they're over in Zambia, and they went out to a remote village. They did not know about Jesus, so they were preaching Jesus. And then there was a baby there that was lifeless, even though it was alive. I mean, it wasn't moving much. The witch doctor had tried to do whatever it is he would do, and nothing happened. And so they prayed over this baby, and the baby began to move, and the baby began to be alert right after they prayed, confirming the message that was preached. They came back the next day, the baby was fine. And so God was confirming the message of Jesus Christ to these people. Okay? All right, so let's keep going. Evangelism. Ephesians 4:11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. So evangelism, to proclaim the gospel, lead others to faith in Christ, and disciple new believers. Now, sometimes we think of evangelism as evangelists, and yes, that's true. Oftentimes, I hope they do, have the gift of evangelism, which the Holy Spirit, again, he works with our personality as well. So oftentimes, it's people who have that knack for being able to relate to other people, but God uses that, how he created you as well. But he does have a supernatural on you. And I'm going to give an example of Scotty, who we had a memorial service for him yesterday, Scott House. Well, that was a rough message I preached yesterday. I cried through the whole thing. And I hope never to have to do that again. He's a good friend. But Scotty, he was an evangelist. Now, did he have any kind of education for that? No. Did he, was he somehow prayed over so that, you're an evangelist? No. Scotty just did what the Holy Spirit asked him to do. And so he shared Christ with so many people, a lot of homeless people. I was so amazed at Scotty. The story, he had a new story about every day. He was an evangelist. Was there some kind of sign above his house? Evangelist. No. He was doing what God asked him to do. He had that gift of evangelism, and it was great and wonderful to see. All right, we're going to go to healing. Another gift of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:9, to another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. So healing is to bring physical, emotional, or spiritual healing to individuals, demonstrating God's compassion and power. So I had mentioned miracles earlier. Whether that involves a healing or not, it may not, could be something else. But this is listed, a gift of healing. So some people, I haven't ran into too many of these people, a few seem to have success, put it that way, by God working through them for people to be healed by the Holy Spirit. Now, we more often see that we pray for one another, and at times God chooses to heal, and it's a great, great thing. So there is that gift of healing, and we believe in that. Now, we're going to have a night of worship on October 11th, so it's in a few weeks, and I guess 3 weeks or so. It's going to be on a Friday night, and when we have this night of worship, we're going to have a time of praying for healing. So it's going to be an exciting night, October 11th. And so it's not hocus pocus. It's just us getting together as God's people, And the Bible says to pray for one another that you would be healed, and that's what we're going to do. So we're going to lay hands on people, and that just means, you know, you might put a hand on somebody's shoulder, maybe somebody's forehead, something like that. And we'll just be praying for people that God would heal them. Can you say amen to that? Yeah, so we're going to have that on October 11th. All right, the next one I'm going to talk about is pastoring. Okay? It's another spiritual gift. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. So pastoring is to shepherd and care for the spiritual well-being of God's people, providing guidance, care, support, and teaching. I like that. Guidance, care, support, and teaching. And always remember, it's about building up the body of Christ. And I think most of you know this. It's not the pastor's job to go out and do everything. It's to equip you, okay? To do a really good job of equipping you. Now, the next gift I'm going to share about is teaching. And oftentimes, and in the case where we are looking for a new lead pastor, we are praying that they also have the gift of teaching, okay? So somebody can be a great pastor. And I know people like this who are so great at pastoring, but they're really not very good speakers. They're out there, okay? And the other way around. So if we look at teaching, let's go to the next one, Ephesians 4:11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. It's the same scripture. So teaching is to instruct and impart knowledge of God's word, enabling believers to grow in faith and maturity. So they can go hand in hand, pastor and teacher, and oftentimes do. So you may be a great teacher, but not a pastor. Those aren't your gifts. That's not what you're really good at. And that's okay. That's great. We all have our different things that the Holy Spirit will use us in, every single one of us. That includes you. So I would just mention one of my favorite teachers is someone that we knew very well. It's hard for me even now to believe he's gone, is Jim Quiring. Jim was just one of my favorite people, and I got to watch how I talk today because I was so emotional yesterday. I can kick myself right back into that, and I'm not going to do it. But Jim was one of my closest friends and a mentor for me. And he was one of my favorite teachers. How many of you sat under Jim Quiring's teaching? How many of you in here? Okay. Yeah, he taught in Sunday schools and Wednesday nights and when we used to do Sunday school. Such a great teacher. He had that gift, and it was so humble how he would do it. Now, Jim also had some pastoral skills as well. He really cared for people, but he really had that gift of teaching. All right, the next one I'm going to mention is actually two, because I think they go together. It's wisdom and word of knowledge. And they're listed together in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. So these are great spiritual gifts, and they often go hand in hand. You may know somebody who's extraordinarily wise in the things of life, and you go to them because, wow, they really have wisdom in what they say. And I don't know how they know everything that they know, but they seem to know the right things at the right time anyway. It's the gift of wisdom. And in addition, somebody may share with you something that the Lord has spoken to them about a situation in your life that they know nothing about, that may have happened to you, and it's ministered to you, okay? Now, that's would be considered a word of knowledge, where God has given them some kind of insight in order to help you. Okay? These are all about blessing one another. Okay? Blessing one another. So wisdom and a word of knowledge. We have to use wisdom to apply the word of God in love in those situations. So that's why they go together. So sometimes when we feel like God has given us a word for someone, that God really wants to encourage this person, maybe challenge them, it has to be done in love, okay, and wisdom. So that, you know, we're just not spouting things that aren't of the Lord. It's kind of what I mentioned earlier, okay? When you're sharing something, do it humbly and in faith, and in faith. So wisdom and words of knowledge kind of go together. All right, we're going to go to another one. Service. Romans 12:7. If it is serving, then serve. Very simple. And this is in Romans 12. Again, the Apostle Paul is kind of putting names to these different gifts or these different ways that the Holy Spirit works through us. So service is to serve and meet the practical needs of others, demonstrating Christ-like humility and compassion. Now, today, there are people today that are showing this gift. And I know quite a few people with this gift where it's not just that's their personality. It's that God really uses them when they serve and they serve other people. I could name a whole lot of people in this church, and since we're having this barbecue, there are people out there that are doing this and serving. I'm going to mention a couple of people today, and could be any one of you. I'm going to mention my friend George Minter. George is a quiet guy, but boy, does he serve. George one time chopped a tree down for me. No, he didn't do it with an axe. He did it with a chainsaw, but it was quite amazing. And he is a person who serves, and he does it quietly, and he just does it. And he blesses people by the Holy Spirit working through him. It's a wonderful thing. I'm going to mention some people that have been new to my life for the last few years, but I've seen them do this. And that, a couple people on the worship team, it's Mike and Denise Bottoms. They both, to me, have this gift. Now, they might disagree with that and say, oh, I don't know about that. I've seen them do it over and over. They just pitch in, and they want to do that. And they serve. They serve with that gift. And, of course, somebody who's obvious to a lot of us is Susan Grison has this gift. She is just constantly serving. It's what she does. Yeah. Now, they all need, let's put applause for all of those people that I just mentioned. Okay. Some of you probably don't know them all. Okay. All right. Let's go to another one. Faith. 1 Corinthians 12:9. I knew I was going to have to bust through these. Oh, you interpreters back there, I'm keeping you in mind. Okay, to another faith by the same Spirit. So faith is to trust God confidently and wholeheartedly, even in the face of challenges or uncertainties, inspiring others to trust in God's faithfulness. All right, do you know somebody that has great faith? I hope you do. Maybe that's you. I know a few people like this who consistently have faith. And I could go to a couple of these people that are in my mind, and I could go to them at any time, and I could share something I'm going through, and I know what I would get back. Faith. Faith in what? Faith in God. Faith in God, and that God will do whatever it is he wants to do, but I will be challenged to have faith myself that God is going to move and work. And these people, when I walk away, I'm challenged, but I'm also encouraged because I'm encouraged in God. And that is a spiritual gift of faith. And I love that. I love that. I know a few of you here that are that way. A gift of faith. Okay, another one is discerning of spirits. I'm not going to get deep into this. 1 Corinthians 12:10, to another discerning of spirits. So discernment is to discern between truth and deception, first of all. Recognizing the presence and activity of spiritual forces, both good and evil. All right. I've been a Christian a while now, since I was 21. Long time. And I've seen this discerning of spirits be a real help to people. And I've seen it used, unfortunately, in a bad way. So you got to use wisdom big time when you have this gift of discerning of spirits. You need to have wisdom in what you say. Maybe what you see isn't necessarily what you need to say. Okay? Maybe what you see in the spirit, you may not need to say everything that you see. You may see some spiritual activity going on that the Holy Spirit will reveal to you. It doesn't always mean you have to say it, okay? But there is something else, but that's a very real thing, people being able to discern that. Now, I don't know that I have that gift, but I have had the Holy Spirit reveal to me Satan at work. And I have dealt with it with immediate prayer, confident prayer. And it's been at certain times and the Holy Spirit will say, you need to deal with this in prayer because the devil and his demons are at work. And that's what's going on here. And that's discerning of spirits. And it's discerning between truth and deception. And we've taught a lot about that lately, truth and deception, because the deception is in our world system. It's always been, but it's really there now. And so we as Christians need to know the truth. And the Holy Spirit will go even beyond that, and give someone supernatural discernment with truth and deception. And I love that. That's a gift of the Spirit. And so then we go to mercy. Romans 12:8, if it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. To extend compassion, forgiveness, and assistance to those who are suffering or in need, reflecting God's heart of mercy and compassion. I am so thankful for people who have mercy, because a lot of the time, it ain't me. I'm more of the challenger. I'm more of a, come on, you can do it. Come on, let's go. I'm more of the exhorter. We'll get to that. I love people that have mercy because they have compassion. And there are times when I'm like, wow, I almost just kind of watch them as a bystander watching, going, wow, you just have compassion for people. That is amazing to me. I just love that. And I think of a couple of people. Some of you know Renee Phelps. She totally has this gift of mercy and always cares for people. Somebody who, I mentioned this to her the other day, who's doing our barbecue today, directing it, she's doing a fantastic job, is Chrissy Prince. Chrissy actually has a lot of compassion, and God has given that to her. I think she has that gift. She has a lot of compassion for people. So when you call the church office, if she answers the phone, you got a person who's okay, let's keep going. Exhortation, that's just what I mentioned a minute ago. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. That is a part of exhortation. To encourage, challenge, motivate others. It's pull up your bootstraps. It's come on, you can do it. It's a positive thing, but it's come on, you can do it. You know, that's what exhortation is. And oftentimes, that's what people need. Not always. I'm going to say not always are people ready for that. So you need to have wisdom once again. So just because you see that, just because you see, wow, they really need to do X, Y, or Z. it may not be the time to share it with them, because sometimes people aren't ready for that. They actually need encouragement first. So I'm a guy that really needs encouragement. So if you want to encourage me, go ahead. Anyway, I'll leave that alone. All right, these last two, they're mentioned last. It doesn't mean they're not important. And I don't have time to go deep into this today. I will in a few weeks, and it's tongues and interpretation of tongues, okay? So 1 Corinthians 12:10, to another different kinds of tongues. He's listing different gifts that different people have. And he says, to speak in languages unknown to the speaker, often as a sign of God's presence or as a form of prayer or praise. Now, this needs a lot of explanation. Again, I don't have time today. It is a gift of God by His Spirit that you speak in an unknown language to you. Sometimes people have been given this gift and people can understand what they're saying. Sometimes they can't. The Bible talks about having tongues of angels, so we'll never know what it means. But I will say this for now, that the Holy Spirit gives this gift, and it's very valuable to me personally. This is why the Apostle Paul spent so much time in 1 Corinthians talking about tongues, is because tongues was being misused. And it was kind of wild and crazy in the church, and he was giving order to the way things would be. And he says, all of this needs a lot of explanation, but he says, seek the greater gifts. What he's talking about is many of these gifts, most of them are for other people. Now, the gift of tongues, he says, you edify yourself. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Sometimes we think, oh, that's pride. No, you're being built up personally. So he's talking about greater gifts. Now, there's more to that, and some of you are going, yeah, but, I know. And we'll get into that later. But the Holy Spirit gives the gift of tongues, and he still does that today. And there's an interpretation of tongues, 1 Corinthians 12:10, another interpretation of tongues. It's to interpret messages spoken in tongues, allowing the congregation to understand and be edified. Now, this is also something that will take a lot of explanation. When the Apostle Paul talks about it, he's basically saying, if someone stands up, they speak in a tongue or an unknown language, what good is it going to do anybody if it's not interpreted? What good is it going to do anyone if they don't understand what's being said? You know, the outsider is going to just think you're crazy. So the Holy Spirit gives this gift of interpreting tongues or an unknown language that is given by the Holy Spirit, okay? So this is all in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You can check out chapter 12, 13, and 14. It's all in there. So we will talk more about that at a later time. All right. So God can use us in any of these gifts. Those are all I'm going to give for today. Sometimes you may not usually exercise a certain gift, but in the moment, God will give you the ability for His purposes. So after the Apostle Paul finishes with all this instruction on order in the church and the proper use of spiritual gifts, he shares this, 1 Corinthians 13. If I could get the worship team to come up, that'd be great. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, see, we talked about these. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am what? Nothing. I am nothing. It has to be done in love. If I give all I possess to the poor, give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. So listen, when we talk about the gifts of the Spirit, it's never about the gifts themselves. Oh, I have this gift or whatever it might be. It's about God's love working through people. And as I said earlier, as human beings, I feel like we need to put names to things so that we can better understand it, better put things in order so that we can teach them and that kind of a thing. But think about this. All of these gifts of the Spirit were named by the Apostle Paul, and he was inspired to do so. I will say that. But listen, if you were there at the time, and say there weren't names to all these things, and people, and the Holy Spirit was working through different people to bless other people in all kinds of supernatural ways, you'd just be going, wow, this is incredible. You know, what is this? And the Holy Spirit is just doing it. You know, he's not saying to these people, okay, I am giving you the gift of knowledge. No, he just started doing it, see. But we as humans, we need to name things, and so that's what we did. That's what the Apostle Paul did, and it helps us to understand it. Helps us to understand it. As believers in Jesus Christ, we love above all else. We love with everything we do. And when we encourage others, we challenge others, we pray for others, we have mercy on others, we give somebody a word of knowledge, give a prophecy, we do it with love, we do it with humility. Are spiritual gifts important? Absolutely. It is the Holy Spirit of God working through us in supernatural power. Why? For you? No. For others. To build up the church. Make us strong. We are allowing rivers of living water to pour forth from within us. So how are we today to get in the game? We have our jerseys today. It's by the Holy Spirit blessing the church through us. Now, you may do it in all different kinds of ministries here. I love it. We absolutely need volunteers. And as you do it, pray that the Holy Spirit uses you in whatever way He desires. And you're going to bless a lot of people. It's an awesome thing. It's an incredible thing. Let's all stand up. Quick word of prayer before we do a song. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We thank you. We thank you for spiritual gifts. We thank you, Lord, that you flow through us with rivers of living water. And it's absolutely supernatural. And we thank you for it. And Lord, we want to be open to you working in our lives. And so, Lord, we open ourselves up to you, Holy Spirit, to do what you want in our lives, with our mind and with our heart, with our emotion. And we say, Lord, use me. Lord, use me. So we give you thanks and praise today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, we're going to sing a song.
What a great message. Let's encourage Pastor Roger.